Welcome to the Sunday morning broadcast of the Texas Fellowship of the Fishermen Ministry. If you would like to support this ministry and our programs, please go to our website at www.thefishermanministry.org and click the donation button on the site. Thank you for your support.
Well, welcome everyone to the Grace Ranch service of the Fisherman Ministry in West Texas. So let us praise and worship the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Well, Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus. And Father, we ask that you open our hearts to thy word that is spoken this day, that we may receive it, Lord, and that we may it may be always in the forefront of our mind, and that we may go forth in you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Cheer.
Say that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not get weary. They shall walk.
Jesus. Ricky had a very good message today. What I believe is a prophetic message. So if you didn't hear it, I would invite everyone to go back and listen to it. I'm going to go over to Hebrews 13. What Ricky said today was basically, the time is coming. The Lord is going to be coming. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to believe on Jesus Christ instead of in Jesus Christ. And along with that, I'm going to start at Hebrews 13:7. Remember them that have rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Be not carried about with divers and strange doctrines, for it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have been occupied therein. We have an altar whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. For the body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin are burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto him without the camp, bearing his reproach. For here we have no continuing city, but we seek one to come. By him, therefore, let us offer continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Read that again. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased. Obey them that have the rule over you and submit yourselves. For they watch for your souls, as they that must give an account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you. There is so many doctrines and so much garbage and junk that not only the world throws at people, but the churches throw at people. And then you've got all of those that don't know the church. And Satan uses every opportunity there is to draw God's people away from him. We must cleave unto him. We must believe on his word. We must believe him and do as he tells us to do. Therefore, that day, that we wait for his return, the day we wait for his city to appear and come down out of heaven, the new Jerusalem, that we will see it and not be afraid, that we will see it and rejoice, because the day is coming. God did not say that he would return just to have everybody sit around for 2,000 or 3,000 years. The time no man knows. But it's getting closer. Every day, every moment, it is one step closer. He will return. Do we believe it? Are we the ones that will be added to his army to stand at his side and fight for the glory of God? I pray that all those that hear this message go back and think and listen and reread all the sermons and everything that is in the archives on the website. The time is now to make the decision. You're God or you're against him. That's the only two choices there are. Amen. Cheer. Thank you, Jesus.
Morning.
Is this close enough?
Yes.
So Bob asked a question. Golly, it's loud. Do you believe that the Lord is coming again? And, you know, if you do, you need it. We have to show that today. We don't have another day. Some of us knew a woman who was healthy, went to sleep, and never woke up just recently. I don't know what happened on her last day. We have today. You don't know when it's going to be your last day. Do you ever faint in your mind? Hebrews 12. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. That's where the battle of faith takes place, is in your mind. That's where you make a choice. When we, it's easy to weary in your mind, you know? You come to the Lord, you're a newborn babe, you're gung-ho, especially if it shows his power and his grace in your life in a life-changing way. It's easy to be really excited. And then time goes on. And you grow up a little in the faith, and more is expected of you. And you don't have that necessarily, that same testimony of feeling it every day. You've heard Steve talk about running Dog River 4 years-ish. Every day was a battle for him. He did not know he was walking by faith and doing what the Lord had for him in that time. And yet when it was done, he found out it was done. It's easy to weary in your mind. Second Corinthians chapter 10. Starting at verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Do I need the other mic? Never mind. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. That's a good place to start. There's a place where the thoughts that come to you, they just come to you. Some of them. Some of them you feed, but some of them, they just come to you. And it's what you do, excuse me, what you do with those that makes those little, sometimes it's a small decision. I don't know. Should I have tomatoes on my salad or not? Small decision. Sometimes it's big decisions, and it's a small thing that takes you from being right on course to being off course. I'm not saying tomatoes on your salad will get you off course. Don't hear me wrong. But, or not having them. But there are lots of, we make decisions all the time. And you don't always know which one's going to be life-changing big decisions. So, the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't fight our mind with some weapon, right? But mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, things that do not agree with the word, that come and bring doubt, those things, things that add to the word, things that change it just a little bit, those are imaginations and high things that come against the knowledge of God. And you bring those things into captivity. Those thoughts come into your mind. You cast them off. I refuse to receive that. I rebuke that in Jesus' name. And you walk forwards doing so, showing that you have done it. Bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. We have this enormous blessing of having his word in print that we can go to. The people who wrote it didn't have it, but we have that. And so we can know which things are pleasing to him. I want to hop forwards to Philippians 4. Verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now here's a list of things that, if you're going to choose to entertain thoughts, let them be these things. Things that are true. Let me rephrase that. Not if you choose what you entertain. When you're looking at what you're going to spend time thinking about, make your choice to choose these things. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, pure, lovely, of good report, rather than receiving a bad report, rather than finding problems, murmuring, complaining. Those are not of good report. If there be any virtue and any praise, think on these things. When you think on these things, your mind will be strengthened. It's easy to weary in your mind and to give in to how you feel kind of stuff. So think on these things. And they will strengthen your mind that you can make, that you can choose the Lord in his ways, and you can choose to put off the things that are not in this. Those are the things of unbelief and doubt and pride and self-righteousness, and the list goes on.
Well, good morning, everyone. You know, I see a theme here. It's called Hebrews. You know, I was praying about this morning and trying to, you know, it's always a frightening thing for me, I guess, to get up here and have to speak the word of the Lord, and or, you know, because I look at myself and I see that old man, that unbelief, that doubt, and thinking that the Lord could ever use me in many ways. Fear, actually, it's fear. So I know that as we learn and as we grow, we have to get past that and recognize that God can use us to accomplishment of his will. So anyway, I was looking at this and I wanted to go to Hebrews 6:1. You know, and this kind of brought up to me this week. Steve had mentioned something to someone, And it brought back kind of a same sort of situation. And I'll explain that after I get done reading this. Therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Of the doctrines of baptisms and of the laying on of hands and of the resurrection of the dead and of eternal judgment. This will we do if God permit. Now, I'm going to stop here for a second. As Megan said, I remember when, you know, I accepted the Lord. Oh, gosh, it was a wonderful thing for years and years and years of joy, and I saw the way the Lord moved. Okay. I was grateful for what the Lord had done for me. But one thing I never understood is what did it mean to move on to perfection? How many times do we see people who accept the Lord and they live in that bubble? I call it a bubble, okay? They live in the bubble, and then all of a sudden, they're starting to have to be pushed towards perfection. And what is that perfection? You know, what is that perfection? I know for myself, when I look at that, I'm like, okay, that perfection is learning to put off the flesh and the things of the earth and looking your sights fully on Jesus. Now, I know when I was in that bubble, you know, Lord, I love you. And, you know, it was true. But gosh, I really don't like this person. You know, Lord, I love you. But boy, I hate that guy. And okay, and I'm not talking about people in the church, okay? I'm talking about people in the church, but I'm talking about people too. You know, if you look at Jesus and you look at what he did, he was perfect in his love. He loved everyone. If he didn't, he wouldn't have died for us. Well, I take that back. He hated Esau. Jacob, he loved. Esau, he hated. Okay, but the point was is that he did perfect love in what was right for that person. Now, I look at myself and I see others. How often do we have a tendency to focus on what is doing? I know it's easy for me to see your faults, but it's not easy to see my own faults, or I should say I conveniently ignore my, you know, it's the mote and the beam. You know, we sit there and we devour each other and we tear apart, and we don't recognize that there may be a reason for what's going on. You know, we look at Samson. I can almost guarantee you the people of Israel were looking at Samson going, oh my God, who the hell does he think he is? He's a whoremonger. But Samson was doing exactly what God had called him to do. You know, you look at the faith chapter, I mean, he talks about Gideon. Gideon did what the Lord did, but you also see some errors in his ways. You look at Jephthah. Is that pronounced right? Jephthah. Okay, the guy who sacrificed his daughter after a battle. But you know, the thing that we know about that, those three that I mentioned, is if they weren't faithful, they would not be recorded in Hebrews. But they are. So we know that they were faithful and they accomplished the Lord's will in spite of their shortcomings. And see, that's what we do. We look at each other and we say, oh my God, look at that shortcoming, or look at this, or look at that. But we don't recognize that the grace of God covers us. We have to have that perfection to recognize that it is Jesus who makes that covering, and he brings us to that point of perfection if we allow ourselves. I know that when I've been, how long I've been here, 25 years, I think. I can't count the number of people who've come into this ministry and left. I can count the number of people who've stayed, but I can't count the number of people who've left. You know, they get offended at one another. They get offended and they leave. And you see it way too often because they don't want to acknowledge that the problem that they have is their own. And I know I was talking to someone the other day, and he was saying, boy, you can't think about the number of times I went to hop in my car and just drive away. I'm thinking, oh, gosh, I know that feeling. But really, in the end, where would I go? What would I do? You know, the fear, that fear of cutting myself off from the body of Christ kept me here. And the thing I have to learn is on that perfection is not to look at what I see before me on a person for myself, but looking at what the Lord sees and what he is going to do with another. So let me keep on going here. For it is impossible for those that were once enlightened and have tasted the heavenly gift and were made partakers of the Holy Ghost and have tasted the word of God and the powers of the world to come, if they shall fall away, to renew them again unto repentance, seeing they crucify to themselves the Son of God afresh and put him to an open shame. Now, this is the thing that always got me. This is the thing that really kind of was the wake-up call for me. Davy said, the way we die is the way we enter into heaven. That's why that mark of perfection is so important. I had a problem with someone in the ministry for a while, believe it or not. And I remember, you know, we couldn't be in the same room together, really. And Steve said, he goes, what are you going to do in heaven? I said, Steve, I really hope heaven's a really big place and I don't ever have to see them. Now, I don't know what heaven's like. I'm sure that's not going to be the case, especially if we're all of the Church of Philadelphia, which is my hope. And I recognize that really the problem, it wasn't her problem, or it was my problem. And if I'm not willing to let go of the things that I thought were an offense to me, what's going to happen when I enter into heaven? And I see that person, and all of a sudden, I sin, and there is no grace in heaven. See, that perfection there is for us to learn to let go of the things of the flesh, to let go and to believe the Word of God. Now, I don't want to get to heaven, or first of all, I don't want to get to heaven and be cast out. And I cannot imagine the first guy that got to heaven and is going to be cast out. Personally, that would be pretty scary. I mean, oh my God, did you see Joe? Not Joe, there, but did you see whoever they sinned? They're gone. You know, when I look at us, and I know that the Lord is moving on us as a body, I know that the Lord is moving because I am seeing attitudes being examined and attitudes being recognized for what they are. You know, the Lord is calling together a body. And he said that they'll know you're my disciples, your love one for another. And that's what separates the Church of Philadelphia, their love one for another. And I know that when you look at people like Samson or people like Gideon, there probably wasn't a lot of love toward Samson in the spiritual love by the people of Israel. I mean, let's look at it. The elders of Israel were willing to turn him over to appease the Philistines. We need to learn to love and to look through the filter of the grace of God. Because if we can't do that here, we're deceiving ourselves if we can do it there. I know that when you look at the churches, you know, there are seven churches. The Church of Philadelphia is the only church that did not have to go through the tribulation, and it was because of their love one for another. The other seven churches, or six churches, thank you, Megan, the other six churches had to go through the tribulation. They had to go through that because they didn't have perfect love before that. I don't want to be one of those six churches. Personally, I'm adverse to pain. I'm adverse to that sort of thing. But I know that where we are at, we have to let go of the attitudes and the judgments of others. The only thing that judges us, that we're to be judged by, is the Word of God. And that judgment we know is true. And that judgment we know is just. And like Megan said, you know, I think of how blessed and how blessed we are. They didn't have the written Word of God 500 years ago and before. The Hebrews had the written Word, but it was in scrolls that the average person couldn't access. But we have it. We have that Word as a lamp and as a guide to show us what Jesus did and how Jesus loves. And I know there's a lot of turmoil, but the nice thing about that turmoil is it boils up the impurities of who we are and the things of the flesh, that we can examine them for what they are and we can get rid of them and recognize the work that the Lord is doing. And I look forward to that. And I'm seeing that mightily throughout the church. And my hope is that the churches out there go away from what they've been doing and they look to that perfection. So, anyway, let's have a song.
Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom.
a chair.
Well, Father, we thank you for this day, Lord, and we thank you for your word. And, Father, we look forward to the work that you do in us because, Father, it is all about Jesus, and it's all about what he has done and what he is going to do. And, Lord, we ask that that work which is started in us may be perfected, that we may walk as you have called us to walk, and do the work that you have called us to work. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
We're
listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.